Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For he is worthy to be praised. We exalt his holy name forever and ever. Welcome everyone to this morning live stream. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center in Randallstown in the wonderful state of Maryland, USA. Praise God. It's good to have you here this morning. Meaning participating in this live stream. Soon and very soon, not only are we going to see the King, but we will be fellowshipping with one another. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. So, more to come here and maybe towards the end of the service as far as what we're going to do. I know a lot of people have been calling and asking, when are we going to start again? When are we going to reopen the church and hold meetings again? And we have been a little bit on the reserved side. We hear one person saying one thing, and then we hear another person saying something else, person in authority. But ultimately, we want to be compliant 100%. So please bear with us. As we sort through all of this, I'm thinking that sooner than later we are going to be fellowshipping with one another once again. And before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's start with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We worship you. We bless your holy name. We exalt your holy name, Father. You are worthy, worthy to be praised. We thank you, Lord, for another beautiful day that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up, Lord, this morning, giving us, Lord, another day to worship you and to praise you. We bless you, Father. We honor you. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to your people, Lord, this morning, that they will hear you, Lord, hear from you directly, not from me, that they would see you and not me, Lord. Be glorified this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So, if it's been placed in my heart to speak about character development and to speak about our walk with God, I've been gravitating this past maybe 2 weeks or so towards the story of Noah. And in the very beginning of, in the book of Genesis, from the very beginning, it's made very much clear that Noah walked with God. That's actually a sentence that's stamped in the Bible. There's a period. Okay, this is Genesis 6. It says, this is the period, this is the genealogy of Noah. And then there's another small sentence. Then end of that sentence. And then at the end of the verse, after the period said, Noah walked with God. That's a brand new sentence. And the author of that book is trying to have you understand that Noah was a righteous man. And he was living in a time where there was no righteousness in the world. The whole world was corrupt. There was violence. There was evil. Men did whatever they wanted to do. They wanted nothing to do with righteousness. They wanted nothing to do with God. They all walked by the flesh. And right when the Lord is getting ready to wipe everything out, and who knows if he was going to start from zero, if he was going to do something else, make another planet. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. And it's not for me to know. But right when he was going to press reset on everything, he found one righteous family, one righteous man on the face of the earth. And that was Noah. And the Lord saved Noah, and And everything started right back over again. Everything started from zero, starting from Noah. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that the Bible emphasizes and stresses out that specific factor. Noah walked with God. It doesn't say Noah loved God. Noah believed in God. It doesn't say Noah was the worshiper of the one true God, the God of heavens. No. When you walk with somebody, when you talk with somebody, you have to be in accordance to the best of my knowledge, right? You have to be in one. You have to be in communion. You have to fellowship. You have to, you guys got to understand each other, right? Or else, you know, there can't be no strife. That speaks volumes when you walk with somebody and if you walk with God. But nonetheless, going back to what I was originally saying, I have developed this thing where I've been fascinated with the development growth of an individual, of oneself. How do I get to the next stage? How do I proceed? How do I move forward? How do I get from here to here? And from here to here? And from here to here? I don't have to go from here to here, because there's all these things that I have to learn in between. The Lord has to show me all these things. But last week, I started talking about the testing of our faith and how that's extremely important for every single one of us. And I have discovered, and I've since have grown to learn several things about our personal walk with God, about mankind, about how the Lord has things set in place. And as long as we could just understand, as long as we could understand how things work, as long as we grasp and get a means of how things are set up, how it's rigged, how it's tied in and interweaved, we would be much better. Much, much better. Last week I shared a verse with you. It's not on the list. You don't have to worry about it. But last week I shared a verse with you that came from Matthew 9:29 that says, "According to your faith, it will be done unto you." And if you stop and you think about this verse, according to your faith, right? If you don't believe that the Lord can bring you through your particular situation right now, if you have doubts, if you are discouraged, if you, I mean, let's just face it, if you just don't know, if you have no idea, then what will be done unto you? If you don't know the scriptures, if you don't know God's word, or any of the above, you won't know what to do. And even if you do know, and even if you have heard the preachings and the teachings and the Bible studies and the sermons and everything else in between, now it's all up to you. And if it's not in accordance to the faith, if it's not in accordance to what the Bible instructs us, what do you expect from God? What can God do? If the Lord is saying, according to your faith, that's how it's going to be. That's how it will be done unto you. According to your faith. There's a lot of weight on this verse. And here's another common verse that we all know. We've recited this verse so many times, which is Hebrews 11:6, that says, without faith it is impossible to please God. There's some pretty strong adjectives in there, in this particular sentence. It doesn't say, without faith it won't be so good between you and the Lord. Or it'll be a hit or miss. It's dependent on this and this and this. It plainly says impossible. It doesn't say hard. It'll be hard to please God. No. It's just simply not going to work. It's not going to happen. It's impossible. But ultimately, what I have been talking about and I want to share with you this morning is how things in our life is put to us and presented to us in a form of a test. And how we should pass these tests. How we should look at these things. How can we proceed? Instead of us just looking at it, we haven't studied for the test, we haven't heard anything about it, we don't know. You don't know what to do. So what now? Are you always just going to remain right there? Instead of advancing and moving forward. And one thing that I want to bring to your attention right now is that sometimes the Lord has to custom make something to get your attention. And what do I mean by that? Last week I talked about God testing our faith through difficulties. And I have a series of things that I want to bring to your attention, and I'm being very mindful of how much information that I give you because I really want you to hold on to this. I don't want you to forget about anything. I am going to briefly elaborate on what I talked about last week just as a reminder, and then I'm going to move on to the next thing that I want to share with you. But I'm also being very conscious of how much information I give you, so I'm just going to skim over the top. But I have 4 points to give you. And I don't know how far am I going to get today. But most importantly is that you retain the information that I'm going to give to you right now. And just to touch on last week, I talked about difficulties. This could be trials. This could be problems. This could be pressures. It could be tough circumstances. It could be all of the stress of life that comes on us. Which is normal, which is part of life. God uses all these things to test our faith. And sometimes God has to make a custom problem to teach us faith or to test our faith. And last week I gave you an example of Jonah. Jonah had a custom-built trial just for him. Just for him. I would not want to be in Jonah's shoes. He had something going on. I mean, he was at the point where it was disobedience. It was going against the word of God. I'm going to do what I feel like it's best, what I feel it's best for me, what works for me. I'm going to do what I want to do. Matter of fact, I'm still going to hop on this boat, but I'm going to go the opposite way that the Lord instructed me to go. And the Lord didn't kill him. The Lord didn't strike him down with a disease. He wasn't stoned. He wasn't arrested or nothing like that. He had a custom-built problem, which ultimately changed his mind very, very, very quickly. And what Jonah did is a reflection of what a lot of us do. A lot of times we know what is right. We know what is right from the Word of God. We know what is right from us learning, from us reading, from us coming to church and in partaking everything that the Lord has for us. But yet we do things our own way, or we don't do certain things at all. Or we go against it because we don't believe it, because we don't want to do it, because we don't want to think about it, whatever the case might be. And then there comes your custom-made problem. Now, the Bible says that the Lord chastises all of those whom He loves. And always remember that. If the Lord did not love you, if you didn't belong to God, okay, if you were not in the kingdom, the Lord wouldn't do all of that. None whatsoever. And this is why the word of the God says in James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy When you fall into various trials, think about that for a second. The Lord loves us so much. He trims us. He grooms us. He is trying to make us into the image of God, for us to be like Christ. So He puts it all into perspective right here for us. And sometimes we're just too hard-headed to understand, or too stubborn, or just plain old disobedient like Job. But because He loves us, He sets certain things in us for us to come closer to Him, for us to depend on Him 100%. Because leave it up to us, we're going to be self-dependent. We're going to want to do it all on our own. Our daughter right now is getting ready to try out for a cross country because she's ready to take off. She's seeking that independence. I see it already. This is just human nature. You know, we try to depend on ourselves. We try to depend on our abilities, our gifts, the things that we see, we can feel, we can smell, we can taste and touch, things that make sense to us that we can comprehend. We depend on that. And then we fail to depend on Him. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to forget Him. So oftentimes these things come into our lives to get our attention. And our attitude should be one of humility, one of humble. And hence right now, James 1:2, it's not on the list, but as a matter of fact, why don't you put it up? Is that okay? James 1, chapter 1, verses 2, and then you can throw in verse 3 also. Let's make sense of this verse right now, because we might have read this verse so many times, and this is brand new enlightenment that has just recently come to my attention. James chapter 1, verses 2. In the beginning it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." And the next verse, "Knowing that the testing of your faith," the testing of your faith produces something that has to grow within us, something that is in the mind. It's an attitude, and that is patience. Patience right there. There is so much meat right now in verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And I don't want to, even though I'm holding myself back in here from really diving into this particular verse, but ultimately right now, I just want you to understand one thing. And I want you to understand that the Lord loves you so much. And last week, I talked about difficulties, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand that the Lord enjoys seeing us going through difficulties. That the Lord enjoys seeing us going through hard times. No, none of that. None whatsoever. And hence, James right now says, count it all joy. Be happy. Look at it as a good thing. Take advantage of it. When you fall into various trials. Keep that in mind. So, God has a purpose. God has a plan in every single one of our lives. Nothing in our lives is by accident. Nothing in our lives is by coincidence. And I say this time after time and after time again. Nothing is by coincidence. Last week I said, everything is Father-filtered. Every single thing. It doesn't happen by coincidence. It doesn't. The great, the good, the so-so, the not-so-good, the trials and tribulations, the things that hurt, the things that burn. When you're on the fire, when you feel like you're in an oven baking, and you're just roasting. Man, I feel roasted by the Lord right now. Count it as joy, brothers and sisters. 100%. Now, moving on here, to the second part that I want to talk about. Before I move on to the next topic, I want to bring to your attention and have you understand the basis of all of this. Okay. I just briefly explained the reasoning. I want to bring to your attention right now a particular gem in the Bible, in the Old Testament, by a guy by the name of Job. Job had it going on. As a matter of fact, Job always had it going on. Job, from the very beginning, was a blessed man. And he is somebody that loved God. He is someone who feared God. Feared the Lord. And before everything happened to Job, as we all are very much aware of, Job suffered a major loss. He lost everything. He went from riches to rags, just like that. Literally like that. To the point where he even lost his family, his kids. They're wiped out. Gone. See you. He lost everything. But let's back up just a little bit. Before all of this happened, the Bible says that the sons of man came and presented themselves to God, the angels of the Lord. And among all of those was Satan. And the Bible says that the Lord was bragging about Job. You see my guy right there? You see him? There's none on earth like him. He loves me. He's just laying it right out for the enemy. See, all your earthly lusts and all your selfishness and your envies and wars and violence and pride of life and all those things, that has no effect on him whatsoever. He's a rich man, but yet none of that riches got to his head. He still loves me with all of his heart. You see that? You see that? This is basically what the Lord is saying to the enemy. And then the enemy said, well, if you do this and if you do that and if you do that, I bet you that he's going to pretty much not say some very nice things about you because you bless him. You got him spoiled. If I would be like him, if I'd be in the same situation as him, chances are that I'll do the same thing. So then our Lord says, okay, no problem. Do this, 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 and this, but don't kill him. Don't touch him. And then you know the story. But the point that I'm trying to make here right now is that Job was well off, right? He was well off in his time. And the Lord was extremely well pleased with him. Extremely well pleased. And then this happened. I want to bring to your attention right now. I want to bring to your attention right now something that we must all understand. Every single one of us, just as Job understood. We have to come to the conclusion of knowing that we are tested. We're talking about the testing of our faith right now and everything else. I want to bring to your attention right now this verse that I read last week, and I want to bring it up this week again. Job 7, 17 and 18. And it says, what is man that you should exalt him, that you should set your heart on him. And then here's the kicker, verses 18, that you should visit him every morning and test him every moment. To a lot of us, including myself, many of us have read this verse or these two verses, and we sort of overlook it, and we look past it. And it doesn't mean anything up until trials come. There's a lot of things that we look past in the Bible that have so much significance and so much meaning. It's all true. Here, you see in verse 18, that you should visit him every single morning. What does that remind you of? Adam. It's always been the same. The Lord has made and created things. The Lord has set things in place for it to always be the same, which is fellowship with God and constant fellowship with God. Direct current, always plugged in. The Bible says that God visited Adam every single day. Every single day, the Lord came around and said, Adam, how was your day today? What did you do? What did you get accomplished? Tell me all about it. Come on, let's go for a walk. Let's go for a walk, like Noah. Noah, walk with God, right? Anyways, let's go for a walk. Okay, all right. And what did you think about that? Oh, you like that? Yeah, awesome. Oh, good call on that one over there. I mean, that's friendship. That's communion. This is a picture that I'm trying to paint for you about Adam and God on a daily basis, every single day. Potentially, you might have heard someone as of late having a conversation with God every single morning around between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. Every single morning. Hi, Lord. Good morning. I'm doing well, thank you. All right, what's the agenda for today? Yes, that's a beautiful thing. That's an awesome thing. When we can talk with God every single thing. And right now, in Job 7, verses 18, it says that you should visit him every single morning, comma. And then it says, and test him every moment. This is huge. We are constantly tested. We are constantly being checked out, being evaluated, every single one of us. So I want you to understand this aspect right now of our testing and how the Lord tests our faith. And the Bible also says everything that happens to Job, all of the unfortunate circumstances. And there is no anger in Job. Job is not saying, Lord, you have been unjust to me. I have done all these great things for you, and I have walked the fine line. Even my children, if I potentially even suspect, if I might even have a dream that they sinned against you, they're marching down to the altar and they're sacrificing and they're confessing their sins, and we are going to sacrifice for you and confess our sins. If in case, just in case something happens, I want to make sure that I'm in the clean. Job didn't hold that against God at all, right? I talked about this briefly on the pastor's desk that I just wrote for this week, the side of humility. And how Job was humble, a humble man, and he never faulted God for all of that. Lord, you are unjust. Now, he said a couple of things, right? He was still human. But nonetheless, while on the topic of Job, we're not preaching about Job. I'm not preaching about Job today, but I want to bring some key things to your attention right now. Can I please have Job 42:5? This is what he says in Job 42:5. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees you. Why am I bringing this to your attention? We can have a particular attitude towards things, right? Based upon what we hear on the internet, on YouTube, based upon what we hear in home group, based upon what we hear in a Bible study, or even based upon what we hear when we come to church from a traditional sermon. But there's a difference when we walk with God, when we see the Lord our God, when we see Him do mighty things in our lives. There is a huge difference. And after Job had that encounter with Him, everything changed. He confessed his sins to the Lord. He said, Lord, forgive me. I have talked about things that I had no idea of. Things too wonderful for me to comprehend is what the Bible says. And certain things that I said was just based upon my own opinions, my own conclusions. I heard of such and such, of this God, this great and mighty God. I chose to believe in it. And I made some conclusions that I had no idea what I was talking about. Okay. So now, all of this has to do with trials that we face based upon difficulties. The testing of our faith through trials, through difficulties, through tribulations, as seen by Job. Job was tested. Now, I think I've spoken enough about difficulties and trials. I want to move on to the next thing. God tests our faith through demands. Through demands. He asks us to do things that are sometimes seemingly impossible for us to do. There are just in the New Testament, over 1,050 commands for believers to obey. Yes. I'm going to say that again. Just in the New Testament, there are over 1,050 commands for you and I to oblige by. All of these commands, every single one of them, potentially you might think that some of them might even be unreasonable. Some of them might be, let's just say, inconvenient. Some of them might seem just downright impossible. So what do you do when you have an impossible command that feels almost like a demand? What do you do in that particular situation? And I'll tell you right now, they are there to test our faith. That's why. Understand that. They're not there by coincidence. Not at all. They are there to test our faith. When you have a command and it seems like you can't do that command, the issue at that moment is simply just one. Simply just one. Who am I going to believe? Who am I going to believe? Who is it that I am going to trust? Think about it. When things are just too hard, too complex, just about impossible, who am I going to trust? Who am I going to believe? Am I going to believe what God says to do? Or am I going to believe what I think is right to do? And I already elaborated on who did exactly just that. That's a gentleman by the name of Jonah. Jonah decided to do what he felt like doing, not what the Lord says he was supposed to do. All of the promises, all of the commandments are there for one purpose, and that is to test us. Every single one of them. Some of them may seem simple at first, but when you look at them, all of a sudden they become demanding. All of a sudden they become tough, difficult, or potentially even be impossible. Now, by now you might be thinking, wow, Pastor, you're giving us a lot of things, a lot of food for thought right now. Huh. 1,050, huh? Whew. Boy, I think I could only think of 5 or 6. Let me break a couple of them down for you. And these are, again, these are things that could potentially going over your head. You might have just never thought of it or looked at it that way. How about this? A command like, don't worry about anything. That's a command. The Bible says, don't worry about a thing. Don't worry about anything. Why worry? Why? But some of us might find that to be very difficult. Some of us might find it merely impossible for us to not get worried. Why? Because what we are facing is right in front of us. Or what we are facing, we can feel it under our skin. Or we see it with our own eyes, and then we start getting mind games. How about that? Not to worry about a thing. Does anybody struggle with that one? Or maybe you might know somebody that struggled with that one. But in actuality, that could be a tough one. That could be a very tough one for us to be able to oblige to. When the command is for us to not worry, can we do it? Ultimately, what's happening right now is we are being tested. Tested by our God. I want to bring to your attention right now Psalms 37, chapter 8. That's what I meant to say. Psalms 37, 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. And then it says, do not fret. What does that mean? Do not worry. It only causes harm. Psalms 37, 8. You see that? That's a command. That's a command. The Bible says, fear not. Have no fear. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. I have overcome the world. That's in the New Testament. I don't got to bring it back to the Old Testament. But even back then, even in the days of Psalms, in the days of David, it's saying the same thing that our Lord is saying hundreds of years later. Be not afraid. Don't worry about anything, because I got this. It's already done. I have overcome the world. But to a lot of us, we always overlook the simple statement, even though simple, is so powerful for us not to worry. A simple commandment is that. A command, I should say. How about, I'm going to give you another example right now. How about a command like, do good to your enemies? Whoo! That could be a tough one. That could be a really tough one. How hard is it? And I, you know, I'm just going to speak of personal experience. It's tough. It's tough for you to even talk nicely to somebody who you utterly despise, or that you don't like, or you guys just don't get along, or every single time you guys come together is like two pit bulls facing each other. It's not a good thing. It's not a good sight. But the Bible says, do good things to your enemy. Love your enemy. All of these things. This is a commandment from the Lord. Why? It's a test. It's a command. I want to bring to your attention right now, Matthew 5, 43 and 44. And it says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Whew. Man. I don't know where to start with that one. I think the Lord our God just covered all the bases. There's no room for error. I mean, he's talking about if they use you, if they take advantage of you, if they walk all over you, spitefully, wow, hate you, use cuss words against you, it says curse you, but ultimately speak horrible things about you, wish you nothing but evil. I mean, the Lord our God talked about the attitude, the action, the verbal, you name it. He covered all the bases. He says, love them, pray for them, do good. I mean, yeah, that could be a tough one. You know, especially to certain personality traits, I'm just going to say. But guess what? It's possible. It's 100% possible. It just takes a lot from us, for us to trust God, for us to trust his word, for us to be submissive and humble and do exactly what the Lord tells us to do, by all means. And this goes in conjunction also with the next thing that I'm going to say. How about when the Bible commands us to forgive others? Forgive them. Right now, I just finished talking about loving your enemies, doing good to your enemies. But now, you go a step beyond all of that, and now you forgive them. You forgive the wrong that they've done, the things that they've said to you, the times that they took you for being somebody that you're not, took advantage of you. Forgive all the things that they've done. These are all tests, 100%, in between so many things. I'm going to give you one more example here. How about this command? Be thankful in everything. Every single thing. I brought to your attention right now James 1. James 1 verses 2. Count it all as joy when what? When we are faced with various trials, when we come across various tribulations and various problems and circumstances, count it all as joy. Well, how about the commandment, be thankful in everything? As far as I know, everything means literally everything. I don't have to look it up in Greek. That means good times, bad times, great and bad. Be thankful for it all. Can I please have Psalms 92, verses 1 and 2? You know this verse. It says, verse 1 says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning, and not just in the morning, But then it says, and your faithfulness every night. This was turned into a song. We all know the song. It is good to praise the Lord and make music too. Yeah, this is a song that we sing. But let's dive into the words here right now that is being spoken. It says, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night, from morning to night. It's talking about your loving kindness, how the Lord is good to us. And then after it's all is said and done at nighttime, it says, Lord, you are faithful. I might have fallen a dozen times today. I might have done all these things, but you still took care of me. You still watched over me. I'm still alive, Lord. I still have all my limbs. You still took care of me. I came back home to see my family. Praise God, you have been faithful to me. In the beginning it says, it is a good thing. It is wonderful. It is great. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name. O God Most High, O Most High. So how about a commandment like that? How many times have we gotten up out of bed? On the way to the shower, you stepped over something and you fell and bumped your head. And then on the way to work, you got a flat tire. And then when you get to work, you get yelled at because you're late. And then your appointment didn't show up. And then you got to deal with that special coworker who just, I'll just leave it at that. And then, you know, on the way home, you run across traffic. And all these things happen. And you just had, like, the worst day in the world, dude. Like, the worst day. And how hard is it for us to be thankful and give thanks to God? To sing praises to His name. Your motorcycle fell down. Oh, man. Oh. But yet you give thanks. Lord, I love you. I bless your name. You are wonderful. How tough is that? It's possible. It's possible. But to be thankful in every single thing is a command that the Lord has for us. Every time. Every time God gives us a command in the Bible, it is a demand that is placed in our lives, and it is a test. Every circumstance, whether good or bad, nothing is by coincidence. For example, like confess your faults to one another. Ooh. You know where that is in the Bible, right? The Bible says, confess your faults to one another. How about that one? Guess what? That's a test. What can that person do to me? What can he do for me? What can she do for me? Think about it. Have you ever stopped and thought about that verse? That's a test. The test is, I am going to trust what God says to do, what He says is right. Or am I going to trust my own opinion? What I think is right in my own eyes. My own opinion is, what can that person do for me? If I go and I share my dirty laundry with that person, if I go and share things that have been bothering me, persecuting me, things that I'm ashamed of talking about, what is that going to do? Right? We want to make sense of things, right? You want to make sure that it clicks. If it makes sense to me, if I feel good about it, if it's convenient, then okay, yeah. Let's go ahead with it, right? But no, the Lord instructs us to do that. It's a test. And ultimately, are we going to obey what the Lord has instructed us to do? Or are we going to resort to our own opinion in what is right in my own personal eyes? Mm-hmm. There are literally hundreds of examples in the Bible of people that God says or said, do this. And they trusted in the Lord. They had faith and they did it. Even though it didn't make any sense whatsoever to them. Even though it seemed, can I just say, impossible? Not only didn't it make sense, but it was literally at the point of being impossible. Impossible to them. The people of Israel, on their way from Egypt, where they had been in captivity, to the promised land, you know the story, right? That particular scenario right there, that time period. The Lord our God put a demand on their life. A demand. That demand was something called manna. You've heard several preachings about manna before. But I'm going to shine a different light on the manna and how it was a demand. It was, I'm going to call it a command. How it was a command. Manna, you might remember, was a bread-like substance that fell from the sky. You know, flaky stuff. Literally bread raining from the sky. I can't explain it. They had to go out each morning to gather enough to eat. Each morning. And the Lord our God said, here's the command. Get enough for that day. That's the commandment right now. Command, I'm sorry. Get enough for that day. Now, you might be thinking, Pastor, why do you call that a command? And right now, we're talking about testing your faith, right? We're talking about the testing of our faith. I've brought you to several scriptures in the New Testament. I'm now back in the Old Testament right now talking about when the people of Israel left Egypt. What has this got to do with testing our faith? Listen to what the Lord has to say about that. Can I please have Exodus 16, verses 4? Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, comma, and then look at what it says. That I may test them, comma, whether they will walk in my law or not. See that? Manna. Oftentimes we hear the preaching and the sermons of the spiritual manna and the manna, the physical manna, and how the Lord supernaturally provides. And yes, those are all true. The Lord is great. He is mighty. He is doing the impossible. He is showing off right now. You cannot explain this. This is supernatural. This is a clear picture of supernatural being coming over to the natural. Right? Something happens supernatural above your head down to the natural. And it's the good stuff. I mean, that is kosher. That is as kosher and organic as you can get. It doesn't get any better than that. I would have loved to taste a piece of that manna. I really would. Let's get back on the subject here. The Bible says that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. Whew. Whoa, dude. Man. There's all kinds of reasons why that command didn't make any sense whatsoever. What am I talking about? The command. Just enough for today? Just today? Why? Why can't I gather enough for the week? right? Or wouldn't it be more convenient that way? If I just go and I gather as much as my arm can carry, right? Well, how about if I load my basket? I might get hungry later on. Maybe I might want a midnight snack. You know, it's more convenient that way. Wouldn't it be a better use of my time that way? How about that? Just enough for one day, huh? What if I get sick tomorrow? And I get so sick that I can't go out and pick up manna so I can eat. Right? What if I trip and hit my head on a rock and a snake bites me? And I can't go pick up manna. I mean, you'd be surprised of the things that people would say to justify their reasoning for doing certain things that are going against what the Bible says. Because it only makes sense to them. Because it's convenient for them. Because they're going off of their own opinions. And their own opinions is, it's a better use of my time if I can just gather enough to last me a week. I go to the grocery shop once a week. I don't go to the grocery shop every single day. Why can't I just stack up? Right? There's all kinds of excuse why I need the manna to last for at least a couple of days, Lord. Yeah. But that wasn't the point. The point wasn't, does it make sense to you? That wasn't the point. Please understand that. The point in here is it's got to make sense to you. And do you get it now? Do you understand it now? Okay, now that you understand, won't you go ahead and proceed with that? No. The point here is not that it's supposed to make sense for anybody. The point was, I want to test you so that you, meaning the people of Israel, trust me in a day-by-day way. That is the point. The Lord our God was supernaturally supplying for them. And that bread from heaven, right? That rain from heaven, I'm pretty sure that's packed with all the vitamins and all the minerals and everything that they need to sustain life, plus some probably. They probably look great. And I'm going to provide that for you. You're going to, I mean, this is kosher A1 plus, 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 plus. But you're going to have to rely on me every single day for that. You're going to have to count on me, to depend on me, to trust me, to have faith that I'm going to supply for you tomorrow. This is going to sustain you all day. And tomorrow, when your tummy is empty again, I'm going to be there for you. And you're going to have faith that I'm going to come through for you. You're going to trust me every single day, a day-by-day way. Follow my commands. The Lord ultimately is saying right now, I want to grow your faith. I want to grow your faith in me. That was the point. And God oftentimes asks us to do the impossible. And now you're probably asking why. And this is why. He wants to grow our faith. He wants to grow your faith, my faith. You know, I remember of a guy. And you might have heard of this guy. His name is Abraham, right? Everybody knows Abraham. Old man Abraham. Father Abraham. Uncle Abe. Whatever. You remember his story. He was 75 years old. He was about to hang it up when God said, I want you to take it back down. You're not hanging it up right now. I want to take you out of somewhere to make a difference in this world. I want you to go somewhere where you have never been before. You don't even know where you're going to go. You don't know where you're going. And Abraham says, "Where exactly am I going, Lord?" And God says, "I'll tell you. How am I going to get there?" The Lord says, "I'll show you." How will I know when I get there? The Bible says, "When you get there, I'll tell you that you've gotten there." Okay. Just go. Pack and go. Keep it moving. Let's go. And how pleased is the Lord when we 100% rely and trust in Him? How pleased is He? The impossible. Do you see here? The Bible just says, "I'll tell you. I'll tell you where you're going to go. Don't worry about it. I'll show you. And you don't have to know exactly. When you get there, I'll tell you that you've arrived." That's faith. That's 100% the picture of faith there. How would you do with that command? How would you do with something like that? We might say, "God, can I Google that first?" Most of us would probably do that ahead of time. You know, can I search it on Google before I get there? I'd like to check it out ahead of time. I'd rather do that. I like to get on Waze and get a point-by-point direction. I just want to put it on Waze real quick, Lord. Right? Then I'm ready to follow your directions. You know, this might be a little funny and whatnot, but this is a clear picture of a lot of times us wanting to constantly be in our comfort zone. Instead of trusting God 100% in what He's telling us to do, we want to make sense of things. We want to Waze it. We want to Google map it. Whatever the case might be. And I'll tell you right now, faith is often a risk. Understand that. Faith is often a risk. When it's a risk, it means you can't understand it all in advance. You can't make sense of it in advance. And why would God do that? He's not just interested in making us comfortable, helping us to see all the directions and point by point on the map. He wanted and still wants to test and grow our faith. That's what it is. The growing of our faith and how it's being tested. And so the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." How about that? He had no idea. He didn't have MapQuest. He didn't have Google Maps. I bet you didn't even have a map. He didn't have, definitely didn't have Waze. He didn't know where he was going. But by faith, the beginning of that sentence there, he obeyed God. He did what he was supposed to do. And that's just Abraham. And then there's a guy by the name of Noah that I've already talked about in the beginning of the sermon here. God comes to Noah one day and says, "Noah, I've got a demand. I want you to build an ark." "Huh? What's that? What's an ark, Lord?"
You want me to do what?
Okay, should I move across country? Should I go find, okay, is that what it is? Should I go find a bottle of water?
Should I find a beach?
Remember, Noah lived in the middle of the desert. When all of this happened, Noah lived in the middle of a desert. Think about that. You are building an ark in the middle of a desert. Let that sink in for a second. And God says, I want you to build an ark because there's going to be a flood. Like, pow, pow. You're building an ark. It's desert. And then it's going to flood. Does that make sense to you? That's the epitome of the impossible. Right? That makes absolutely no sense to you and I. You already know, you've heard several preachers talk about Noah's neighbor making fun of him, driving him crazy. And let's just look at things in plain sight. Who wouldn't? Because that's what makes sense to them. They're living on earth. They're living on sight instead of foreseeing things. They're living on the natural instead of the supernatural. All right, this is what made sense to them. But not Noah. Noah was, he was beyond that. So now, Noah probably didn't know what an ark was, but he knew now because the Lord gave him the dimensions. Then he's going to build it right there in dead smack in the middle of the desert. And then the Lord says that that desert is going to flood. The Bible says that up until that time, up until that very moment, it had never rained, not even once. And in actuality, it doesn't really rain in the desert. I think I've read somewhere that in the desert, somewhere desert, it rains once a year, if not twice a year. And then there are certain desert areas that it doesn't rain at all. But I think desert, they might get like one rain per year or a couple of them. I could be wrong on that. Don't hold me to it. But up until that time, where he was, it wasn't that. It hadn't rained at all. Ever, ever, ever. Water came from the ground as a mist. It had never rained. And yet God says to Noah, Noah, I want you to build an ark because it's going to rain. Now, the question that I have for you right now is this. Would you build an ark in the middle of a desert when you've never seen rain or never seen a flood just because the Lord our God tells you to do so? Think about it. In this case, in this particular case we're talking about, Noah did. He did. The Bible says, by faith, Noah built an ark. That's what the Bible describes. Yep. I'll show you. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to what we are talking about right now. And that is the one thing, according to faith. According to his faith. God tests our faith. And he does it through difficulties, but he also does it through demands. These demands that he makes in our lives, those, like for example, like right now, the instructions for Noah to build an ark. And I do it just because I trust Him. I do it because I trust God. Praise God. What's the lesson on this one, you might say, Pastor? If I want to learn to live by faith, I must learn to not only rejoice continually, I have to learn to obey immediately. Immediately. Obey immediately. When the Lord gives you a command, when the Lord instructs you to do something that's oftentimes it's impossible or just plain out doesn't make any sense whatsoever. First through difficulties, and now we're talking about demands. When God says it, do it. If He says it, do it. Whether I understand it or not, do it. Whether it makes sense to me or not, do it. Because I know it's what God has asked me to do, and then that's it. It settles it. I trust God. That is a test of faith. When God tells you to do something in the Bible, you do it. You do it. This is where you hear what God says for you to do. This is where you hear. In the Bible. In the Word of God. This is where you hear what God says what you should be doing. What you should do next. Which direction you should go. How should you perceive? This is how you know. There's a lot of people who want to speak for God. Have you ever noticed that? God's voice in your life. They want to be God's voice in your life. But no. You hear from the Lord our God. You hear from Him through this, through the Bible, right there. When God says to do it, you hear it clearly in the Bible. Then you act on it and you obey immediately. Immediately. Now, last week I did a little evaluation thing going on when I talked about it, difficulties. And I'm going to do the same thing here now, talking this week about demands. How are you doing on that one? On a scale from 1 to 10. And if in case you're writing this down, if in case you're keeping track, circle wherever you are right now. And then follow your progress as you're moving forward. The question right now is, how quickly do you do what God tells you to do? How quickly? That's the question. Do you do it when it's just convenient for you? If that's the case, be honest with yourself, okay? And give yourself a 1 on a scale from 1 to 10. The next question is, do you struggle with it maybe for a little while? Or maybe even quite a while, but then you do it. If that's the case, give yourself a 5. Not a high 5, but give yourself a 5. And the truth be told, too often people get a 5. Very much often, every single one of us, we know what to do, and we have the fear of God in us, and we want to oblige, we want to obey, but we got to like psych ourselves up a little bit, and we got to, all right, let's go. But we don't act on it immediately. Too many of us, we wait to the very last moment. We might procrastinate, but then we eventually do what the Lord wants us to do. If you are one of those, give yourself a five right now. Or maybe you've learned more and more to do it instantly, to do it without any question whatsoever. If this is you, you give yourself a 10. God says that He tests our faith through difficulties. But also, secondly, He does test our faith through demands. And it's up to us to oblige. It's up to us to trust Him, to believe in Him, to 100% trust Him day by day, on a day-by-day way, on a day-by-day basis. Trust in our God. When the Lord commands us to not to fret, not to be worried, when He commands us to love our enemies, when He commands us to be the sight, the image of God, which God is love, are we going to obey those demands? For us not to fear, for us to trust in Him, are we going to do that? That's the question right now. Praise God. And I think we've gone far enough, long enough in all of this. I want to develop some of these things to extent and fully explain to you all of this so you fully understand. And back it up with the verses in the Bible and what the Bible says. This is how the Lord speaks to us. This is how He commands us through His holy word. Praise God. I'd like to conclude right now with a word of prayer. Please close your eyes. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for Your holy word. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for all the commands that You have placed in Your holy word for us to do. And Lord, I pray that every single one of us, including myself, Lord, every single one of us could learn to 100% trust in You. That we can place our faith, Lord, not on our wealth, our money, our knowledge, our skill, our gifts, none of that. That we can place, Lord, our trust and 100% dependency on You and You alone. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would see You through Your word. That they would have a personal encounter with You, Lord. Just as Job had a personal encounter with You through Your holy word. We love You, Lord. And as these times go by, these difficult times, Lord, that we are facing, these times of testing, Lord, a time that we have never seen before, I pray that in these times, we will grow stronger and stronger and stronger in You. Let none of this, Lord, be a hindrance in our walk with You, but may it grow us, Lord, stronger in You. In faith, in what You command us to do. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Next week I'm going to be talking about how God tests our faith with dollars. With dollar bills. With money. So I hope you are able to join me next Sunday morning. I have two more things to share with you. I might get through both of them next week, I think. But if I don't, then what we're going to be talking about next week is money. How God tests our faith through dollars. Praise God. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning and participating in the live stream here for Sunday morning. Thank you also for those who are coming in after the fact. I am thinking that we will reopen next Thursday.